You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah
alayhi salatullah. Rather, in English, we would have to use a paragraph. What is salah? You would have to say, it is a set of actions and words which commences with a takbir, which means Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, facing in a certain direction, having arrived at a certain level of purity which is known as wudu. And then you'll have to explain wudu, and so on and so on and so on, ending with salam. And you'll have to explain it in a paragraph. That is the meaning of the term salah. We say prayer. So the same applies to assalamu alaykum. We conveniently say peace be upon you. But let me look into that term and let's study it today for a few seconds. As-salam means peace. Peace is the opposite of war. Wouldn't we agree? And if someone is at peace, they are not at harm. Would we agree? So what that would mean is, as-salamu, all peace. Al, that alif and lam would refer to all peace be upon you. From who? From me, the one who is saying it. Which means, I guarantee you, I will never ever harm you. That's the meaning of as-salamu alaykum. When we say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brother, my dear sister, I am saying, wallahi, I guarantee you as a Muslim, take my tongue, that I will never ever harm you. That's the meaning of assalamu alaykum. I guarantee you I will not harm you. Now surely if we spread salam and we don't harm anyone, surely we'll end up in Jannah. And then we say wa rahmatullah, not only harm, but on top of that, I make a dua for you. May Allah have blessings upon you. May He have mercy on you. Wa barakatuh, and may He bless you in every single way. So I guarantee you I will not harm you. And I guarantee you that I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you all forms of goodness. Subhanallah. If that is the attitude, if we only have to revive the true spirit of Islam in our lives, wallahi, we will all be jannatis. But what reflects in my life and yours, very unfortunately, and this is very well picked up on the mobile phone, when someone phones and they say, Salaikum, Salaikum, what are they saying? Don't you realize it's a huge act of worship through which this ummah shall be revived? Through which this ummah shall be revived? And we tend to belittle it. At times we'd rather substitute it with the word hi, hello, and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Wallahi, it's an ibadah. And when we say it, a criminal is he who utters it, or she who utters it without meaning it. So we have a huge smile and we say assalamu alaikum with a big smile, and yet we are the first people to speak behind his back, and we are the first people to cheat him in business, and we are the first people to accuse him and spread rumor and backbite and so on. Allahu Akbar. Is that what salam is? We can't go into Jannah. So this part of the hadith, afshu salam, through it we understand we must abstain from ghibah, namima, we must be genuine Muslims, our sincerity levels, and we can go on and on speaking for hours on end just regarding the meaning of assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So to close that part, I make a dua for myself and yourself that Allah grant us the ability to utter the salam in a genuine manner. And may Allah increase the mahabba in the Muslim ummah and the love. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us more genuine people, that when we smile, that smile is not just a plastic smile here to show our false teeth, but rather from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. In no ways am I insulting those with false teeth, but what I mean is, sometimes the teeth we are showing are actually false. They are our real teeth, but we're not meant to be showing it, because in our hearts we hold hatred for the person and yet we are hypocritically smiling at them. This is what is meant by false teeth. We should show genuine teeth. Look, these, even if they are dentures, but if that smile was created through the real love in our hearts, wallahi, we have the right to show our dentures. I hope they are brushed properly. May Allah grant us understanding. So here we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example of salam. Let me move on. Then he says, wa at'imu at-ta'ama. If you were to look at the translation of at'imu at-ta'ama, it means feed food. That's literal meaning of it, is feed food. How would I be able to feed food? What feeding of food? People might not want to eat at my house. Maybe because of the relationship I have with them. Which means, if you'd like someone to eat at your house, or if you would like them to eat your food, you need to have a solid relationship with them. To have invited them, and thereafter they would have accepted that invite on your relation. So if you can do that to any Muslim member of this ummah that you know, then automatically you should realize that inshallah we have that brotherhood of at'imu at-ta'am. We are able and capable to feed. Yes, what is included in that part of the hadith is also to feed the poor, to feed the poor. How will we be able to feed the poor if we don't have a genuine feeling for them? Remember, when we are engaged in salah, and when we come to the masjid to fulfill our Jumu'ah and our Eid, let's take the example of Jumu'ah. We come to the masjid. Had it not been for this masjid, we probably would not have been able to read our Jumu'ah in many cases. So that is why we respect the masjid as the means of having assisted us to fulfill a great act of worship. Surely, we should be from amongst those who understand that we need to respect the poor person as a means for having accepted us, for having accepted us to engage in an act of worship known as sadaqah. Allah has accepted us through this poor person. Had it not been for the presence of this poor person, we probably would not have been able to engage in zakah. So when we give zakah, don't for one minute think we are doing a favor to the poor, but they are doing a favor to us by accepting it. May Allah make us from those who fulfill our zakah. It's our duty to ensure it goes into the right place. It's our duty. One of the signs of the rejection of wealth, and one of the signs of wealth being earned through haram, is that a person's wealth be given in the wrong direction for zakah. That is a sign that maybe there is something wrong with the manner in which this wealth was earned, because the houses of Allah and the true awliyaullah who are poor, who are deserving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept dirty wealth for those people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us purity and sustenance and barakah in our lives, inshallah. So, at'imu at-ta'am, feed the food, which means create love amongst you. Feed the poor, as well as feed your relatives. Feed those who be hospitable. Be a person who is full of hospitality. The Arabs were known for their hospitality. They were known. Up to now, the Arabs are still known for their hospitality. Wallahi, they will open their doors. If you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, the angels who had come to him, according to some narrations, there were three angels who came to him. Those angels were total strangers. Total strangers. They entered his door, he allowed them in, he went to the back, he slaughtered a calf. You know what's a calf? A baby cow. He slaughtered a calf and he roasted it and he brought it within no time. For how many people to eat? Three. Three. And himself. And he laid it there and he says, right, eat. فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيدٍ Imagine, he came with an entire calf. He said, right, eat. They didn't eat because they were anbiya. They were angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They explained, look, we are angels. And the story continues. But what I'm trying to raise here is hospitality. How many of us are ready to slaughter a calf for three people? No. Believe me, not even a leg of a lamb. May Allah protect us. Well, I'm sure it's Leicester, so there must be exceptions, because Leicester is known for all its meats and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us barakah in whatever we eat. It is not what you eat, but it is the barakah in the food. Wallahi al-azim. It is not what you eat, it is the barakah in the food. You can be having very little food, vegetables only. If there is barakah in it, it will be much more beneficial than those who might be eating luscious meals with no barakah. May Allah grant us barakah, and may He make us from those whose stomachs will be filled, inshallah. So, this was the hospitality. So, firstly, spread peace and love. And then be hospitable. Be kind to one another. The hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about sadaqah. You see, at'imu at-ta'am is sadaqah, isn't it? To feed food is a sadaqah. He says, tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqah. To smile at the face of your fellow Muslim is a sadaqah. It's an act of, a monetary act of charity. Monetary charity, if we can use that word. Monetary charity. Sadaqah. That's the word used. How can my smile be an act as though I've given out wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just a smile. Because wallahi, no matter how much money people pay, the warmth in a smile is priceless. It is priceless. This is why the sunnah method of greeting, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted, he looked the companion in the eye, and this is a sunnah. He looked him in the eye, he broke into a very warm smile, and he shook the hand solid. He shook the hand, solid, nice handshake. And he broke into a smile, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the response came, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And definitely there was peace between all of them. So with us, sometimes half-heartedly we see a person, we ignore them and rush out of the masjid through the other door. Why? I saw that person on the other side of the masjid. Brother, go and get my shoes there, that side. Allahu Akbar. If this is the mentality, what type of Muslims are we? Honestly. So we definitely need to spread this handshake. And now don't go home and start shaking the hands of all the sisters saying, today we were told to shake hands. Remember, it's within the same sex we are speaking about, or within mahrams. You know, having lectured in South Africa, we definitely need to clear the air all the time. Because I know there are minds here that might be looking for loopholes, especially from the muftis. So then they can go back and say, today this is what we heard and that's what we heard. So in order to cover that, we need to remind everyone, look, within the limits of the Sharia. Obviously, the speech must not be taken out of context. But inshallah, we understand what is being said. So that is the method of greeting. That greeting is a sadaqah. It is actually an act of charity. It increases the mahabba in the ummah. It increases the love amongst the members of this ummah. And definitely, even if there are some non-Muslims and you happen to break into a smile, wallahi, it breaks the ice. And we as the Muslim ummah living in a country where we are in a minority, it is of far greater importance that we lead an exemplary life. As the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are his ambassadors. If we portray the wrong image, we are only portraying the wrong image of himself. Why should we do that? In fact, if my name is Muhammad or Abdullah, or I'm dressed in a way that definitely identifies me to Islam, or people know that I'm a Muslim, I need to go out of my way to protect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's image. Today we cry about cartoons in the world, not realizing we are cartoons ourselves sometimes. It's a fact. We cry about cartoons in the world. I'm not saying we should not be crying and yelling about them. But surely charity begins at home. We ourselves are so far and we are making a fool and a joke of the same beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times through our character and conduct in the malls and on the roads and at our workplaces and at home with our wives and husbands and so on. And yet we want to champion the cause of a cartoon that was drawn by non-Muslims. I'm not saying we should not be doing that. But the means of eradicating that would be to commence with ourselves. To commence with ourselves, and that is from the Quran. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will never change the condition of a nation until each individual does not change their own condition. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to change my condition if I want to make a difference in the ummah, and so do we all. So that is as far as at'imu ta'am goes. In fact, as I said, it can go beyond, but let's move to the third part of the hadith. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامَ, and ensure that you maintain your family relations. Allahu Akbar. What a powerful portion of the hadith. Many of us, we live in extended families. You get married and suddenly the politics begins. The politics begins. I would not like to go into detail in that regard because everyone has a peculiar situation. I hope the bulk of us don't have that situation. But what happens is, then there begins to be friction. For what? Just because of shaitan, nothing else. So Allah knows that when you live together as human beings, my five fingers are different from yours. My eye, what do they call it? The image of my eye is totally different from everyone's of yours, and so is my thumbprint and my fingerprint. Completely different. So it is only likely that my entire character will differ from yours in 10 or 15 different issues. Possibly more, possibly less. Even if I am married to someone, there is a likelihood that there will be a difference in thinking. But that difference in thinking does not necessarily mean that we must now destroy ties and relations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really bring us together as family units. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bond the brothers and the sisters and the husbands and the wives and the children with their parents and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring together this ummah. This is how we will get to Jannah. There's no other route to Jannah. Jannah is through Islam. Jannah is through following this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message. He says, this is what will take you to Jannah in peace, in order, in one piece. Why does he say in one piece at the end? Because someone can go to Jannah via Jahannam. Inshallah, we are all going to Jannah. We are all definitely, inshallah, going to Jannah. May Allah take us to Jannah. Ameen. But the question is, will we be going direct flights or via, you know, we from Africa, we say via Nairobi. Nairobi is in Kenya, and Kenya normally you have a problem. They'll reweigh all your bags, and they'll do a lot more. They'll give you a boarding pass and say, you know what, sorry, this is a different flight. There's a mistake here, because they might want to eat a little bit of money. So if anyone says, are you going for Hajj? We say yes, direct or indirect. If you say direct, they'll say that's the best thing you did. And if you say, oh, via Nairobi, they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So what I have here is a message for myself and yourself to say, when we want to go for Hajj and for holiday, we like to use direct flights. When I want to go to Jannah, why is it that I want to use an indirect flight? Allahu Akbar. Do we see the logic in that? We understand to go from here to a holiday in Hawaii and Honolulu, direct flight we'd like to go for a holiday to enjoy ourselves. What about the Jannah to Rabbil Alameen? The paradise there. If I want a direct flight, here's the hadith. It says, تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامٍ. Direct flight, you will get to Jannah. So what I need to do? Suilul Arham, I need to go out of my way to mend those relations that may have been severed and destroyed within my family first, knowing that the entire Muslim Ummah is part and parcel of my family. The entire Muslim Ummah is part of my family. So I start with my close circle, then I go further and further. And wallahi, the Quran speaks about husband and wife. And the Quran says, إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they both have one intention, and that is, we would like to resolve our problems, then they will find a way out. The Quran guarantees it. It says, if they both have the intention that we would like to resolve and solve our problems, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that you will be able to solve it because your intention is to solve it. But the minute one's intention is wrong, now you have a disaster. May Allah protect us from shaitan. Shaitan is based in the middle of the water, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has a meeting there every day with all his little men that he sends out, his army, the army of little shayateen. They come out. And those who get the biggest prize at the end of the day are those who succeeded in severing family ties. So when the jinnats come back, when these shayateen go back to Iblis, to the boss, he asks them, what did you achieve? He says, I let people miss salah. I let this one drink. They all get an in'am. They all get a gift. And when one says, I destroyed a relation between husband and wife, he says, you come here. You're a VIP today. Come here. You get a special prize. Allahu Akbar. Why should we afford that opportunity for shaitan when we cannot afford it for ourselves? If we'd like to be VIPs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to rectify our intention for the sake solely of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So many brothers are not speaking to each other for 20 years on end. Why? Because the father passed away leaving 200,000 pounds and I need to know whether I was supposed to get 105,000 or 95,000. And they stop talking for 20 years. Destroying generations, the cousins don't get to know each other and so on. Generations down, who won? Shaitan won. Will we be able to go into Jannah? My dear brother, give up the 5,000 pounds, give up the 10,000, give up the 100,000. That is your brother. It is blood at the end of the day. If you would like to have a minimum relation, have it, but it must be minimum. And still it has to be there. Allahu Akbar. Don't worry about everything else. If you want to cut it down, the hadith does not say don't cut it down. You may cut it down. But you must have the bare minimum of salam and bare kalam. The salam and a little bit of speech, that's your brother. You are going to be resurrected right next to him on the day of Qiyamah. There is a chance. And you will be called by the name of the same father. Allahu Akbar. And yet in the dunya we didn't talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So, if we'd like to enter Jannah, there is something known as silatul rahim. We need to engage in mending the family ties. The hadith says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ إِنَّمَا الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي مَنْ إِذَا قُطِعَ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَاهَا. A person who is known as a good mender of family ties is not the one whom when someone gives him something, he gives it back. They send you chocolates, they send it back. I don't know, there was a custom. When I went to India, I attended one of the weddings with no disrespect. And they showed me a book as I entered. And they said, when you come out, you're going to have to fill this book. I said, what? Okay, we'll fill it. What do they want? My address? Why? They said, no. You eat the food, however nice you felt, you got to pay here. It's a fact. I don't know if you've seen it. So what happens is, they keep a record of who gave and how much they gave. So when you have a wedding in your house, they give you exactly the same. Allahu Akbar. I don't know if it happens in this part of the world. I hope not. They take a record. This person gave me 10 pounds, 20 pounds. I'm using the word pounds because we're in Britain. This person gave me so much, that much, this much, that much. So why? Why are you keeping a record? If you're keeping it just for your purposes to calculate how much you've made at the end of the day, alhamdulillah. But if you are calculating it so that when they have an occasion, I will give it back to them, that is not al-wasil. That is not a person who is maintaining family ties. That is a tit-for-tat relationship. That is a tit-for-tat dunyawi relationship. The relationship which will help you in the akhirah, when those relations have been severed, you are the first one to go out and to try and mend them. Then Allah will grant you Jannah in return. Even if you don't succeed, but Allah knows, He will grant you Jannah in return for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really help us in this regard. The Muslim Ummah is bleeding silently in this regard. Sometimes we tend to be the friends of those who are strangers outside who may not even be Muslims. I'm not saying we are not allowed to have friends, but over and above our own family members whom we disregard and we speak bad about and we backbite, in front of our own friends who behind our backs, they're probably laughing at us to say, look at this guy, look at this person, look at this woman. She's speaking to me about her own sister, you know. Tomorrow she'll speak about me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So that is the next part of the hadith, wasilul arham. And one of the most important parts of the hadith, sallu bil layli wan nasu niyam. read salah, engage in salah whilst everybody is asleep. No one is watching. What salah is that? Tahajjud. Salatul tahajjud. Engage in salatul tahajjud. You will enter Jannah, inshallah, in peace. You will find the road to Jannah. Why tahajjud? If someone says you must be regular on your tahajjud, automatically included in that command is, hey, you better be a 5 times namazi. Who reads tahajjud and doesn't read 5 salah? I don't think there's anyone in the ummah who does that. And if they do, they are foolish. Imagine someone reads tahajjud in the night and time for fajr, they go and sleep. Is that possible? It's not possible. So when someone says, read your tahajjud by night, what is included in that command for those who have brains is that we hope you are reading all your 5 salah. Over and above that, you better also read tahajjud if you'd like easy entry into Jannah. Easy entry into Jannah. You know, when we are traveling, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us understanding. It is very important that we realize that we become afraid of the revenue authority. Why? When we land back in the country, we know we've come from Hajj, mashallah, they all think we've got zamzam, and they all think we've got dates, and that's it. But we don't know, they don't know that it's full of other material which I probably need to declare. Maybe it's above the limit. Possible, I need to pay a few duties. I don't know the laws in this country, but I'm speaking about my country and South Africa and those countries there. So what happens is, at the Kaaba, we'll make a dua, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. I'm planning to go through the green route, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help me walk past it without them noticing, Ya Allah. We'll ask the Imam, what's the dua? They tell us the dua and I'm sure we've all memorized it. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. As we're walking past with our trolleys, we're busy murmuring these words. It happens. Why? We worried about declaring one or two things which may not have necessarily been appropriate in our bags at that particular time. The only damage that would have happened is you had to open it and pay a few pounds to say, you know what, I've brought it into the country. It's the law of the land. Let me abide by it and be a good Muslim and a good citizen. So we are so worried about it. We ask for du'as. We engage in it. We make voluntary du'as. We'll read 2 rakat salah before we travel. And when we go, our hearts are actually pumping. For what? For a little green light that we see in the airport. Allahu Akbar. What about the lights in the Akhirah? There's also going to be a green route and a red route there. Can't we read 5 salah a day to say, Ya Allah, take me through to the green route in Jannah, Ya Allah. What is the green route? One of two things. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter how many deeds I have done, I cannot guarantee that I'm going to enter into Jannah. I can't. Because sometimes the sincerity of my deeds is so poor that really only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take me and you into Jannah. So this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find yourselves engaged in salah at night. And that would obviously mean that we are at peace with everyone. We are at peace. We are sincere people. We are an asset to our society, our family, our community, our nation. We are an asset to the entire ummah. And at the same time, we are very hospitable. We are people who are loving. We are people who are caring. The word at'imu ta'am and hospitality, what is included in it is the care of those who might be handicapped, those who are old. All that is included in that. Imagine Abdullah ibn Salam, being a rabbi, automatically understood the depth of all this. And he declared his shahada in Islam. He declared it. Today we've heard the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. I close by repeating that hadith one more time so that we can take it home and memorize it inshallah. Ayyuhan nas, the hadith is reported by Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu. He says, ayyuhan nas, meaning he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, O people, at'imu ta'ama, ayyuhan nas afshu salama, spread salam. And I've explained the word. This verbal salam is included in it, but it has a far deeper meaning. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامَ, and be hospitable. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامَ, and mend destroyed relationships. Destroyed relations within your family, within the Muslim ummah. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ, and find yourself in salah whilst everybody is fast asleep with total sincerity. That is also a sign of sincerity. When everyone is asleep and you creep into the toilet to make, or into the bathroom to make your wudu, and then you slowly read your salah in the darkness, there is always sincerity in that salah because nobody's watching besides you and Allah. That is the sincerity. That hadith also tells us, be sincere when you are reading salah. So the sincerity in salah, then inshallah it ends by saying, تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامٍ, the guarantee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you do that, you shall enter the Jannah of your Rabb with ease and with peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry to Jannah. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli ala nabina Muhammad wa ala ali nabina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, we've committed so many sins, we've lost count of the sins we've committed. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us all protection from sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've raised our hands, yes, seeking forgiveness from all the sins we've engaged in. Ya Allah, we know you have told us never to lose hope in your mercy, Ya Allah. We will never lose hope in your mercy. Forgive us, Ya Allah. And we know that whenever we raise our hands for you, seeking forgiveness, you always forgive us before we return our hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us get up from this majlis spiritually cleansed, Ya Allah. Let us get up from this gathering, Ya Allah, on a level higher than the level we were when we first sat in it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to be better people. Help us to turn a new leaf in this deen, Ya Allah. Make us people who can be hospitable, people who can spread the true peace, Ya Allah. People who can really take care of those who are handicapped, those who are old, Ya Allah. Grant those who are sickly, shifa. Grant those who have passed away, maghfirah, Ya Allah. The day you take us away, grant us as well, maghfirah and rahmah, Ya Allah. Grant us forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to ease the suffering of every single person who is seated here, who is listening, Ya Allah. Every single one of us, Ya Allah, has different problems, different difficulties, but you know the hearts of every single person. You know the difficulties we are going through. Ya Allah, ease everybody's difficulties and solve everybody's peculiar problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us all shifa. Ya Allah, we are all sick in a way, Ya Allah. You know in which way we are all sick and ill, Ya Allah. Grant us shifa and protect us, Ya Allah. Grant us good health, both physically as well as spiritually, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you. And we seek protection from all the evil that he has sought protection from, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Muslims who are suffering across the globe, ease their suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've raised our hands for them, Ya Allah. We've raised our hands unto you, making dua for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make easy for them and for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to uplift this ummah, to grant leadership to this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to make easy for us to fulfill all ibadat. Ya Allah, we promise you we will read our salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we promise you we will dress appropriately from this day on, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we promise you that we will be upright and good Muslims who will abstain from lies and falsehood and deception and gambling, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we promise you we will abstain from gossip and backbiting, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts and remove jealousy from our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, we ask you to protect the Muslim women, Ya Allah. The Muslim men, Ya Allah, the children, the older people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, guide the enemies of Islam towards Islam and soften their hearts, Ya Allah. And those who are Muslim, Ya Allah, grant them happiness, Ya Allah, and grant them steadfastness and spiritual elevation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are married, grant them happiness in their marriages, Ya Allah. Those who may be suffering a bit of turbulence, Ya Allah, help them in solving their problems, Ya Allah, and their crises, Ya Allah. Those who have not been granted children, grant them children, Ya Allah, through your barakah and rahmah and mercy, Ya Allah. Those whom you have granted children, make those children the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Those whom you have not yet granted spouses, Ya Allah, grant them spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we make dua on this day for all the ulama of this ummah, Ya Allah, protect them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect all the members of this ummah, Ya Allah. Grant us all goodness. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.